Of course, I bring toys. Rather than trying to do Aramaic toning in a mask, which would probably make me pass out, I'm going to offer a little of this sort of as a recalibration, help us kind of fall back to center. I'm not implying anything's different with the world or anything like that right now, but so what we'll do is we're going to spend a few minutes with the bowl. All you need to do is, it's good to take one good deep breath in through the nose, hold that just a few moments, and then we're not going to do that multiple times because I don't want you to get all woozy or anything. What we do is we just sit with the sound of the bowl. Allow it to relax the entirety of our body and bring us back to center. Slowly bring your awareness back into the room. I'm going to attempt to do this in a very different way from what I normally do. I'm going to try to sit. We'll see. Also, rather than like normally, I'm here and I do my thing, and I'd like it to be a little bit more open, meaning that because I'm going to hit on a couple of subjects here that I think, I don't know if I would call them a sore spot, but there's something that needs to be discussed, I think, in our culture right now. And no, it's not politics. Why even touch it with a 40-foot pole? But it could involve politics. But we'll get to that. So how's everybody doing? Gosh, whew. Has it been weird or what? Like late February, I don't want to pronounce it like Don McLean. I'm a huge Don McLean fan, and in American Pie, I'm all about spelling and pronunciations, of course. And every time in the song American Pie, when he says February, I go, ugh. I'm not a librarian, though, or an English teacher. So anyway, a lot's happened. So late February, February. I know, who cares? But library. It was like everything was starting to happen, and then early March comes in, and I was actually supposed to be at Chantlanta. And like a few days before, that got canceled. And then all of a sudden, I watched every... This is actually my first public talk since late February. But I watched them fall like dominoes. And it was an interesting experience for me because I'm like, well, that's interesting. Everything just kept falling. And I don't even necessarily mean that to be in a bad way. Just I realized, okay, this is... somebody's standard cell phone. Oh, it figures it's done. Right? I'm just kidding. But anyway, I knew it was going to be a different year. So what did I do? I kind of hunkered down. I haven't put an email out through my email list in over a half of a year. Oh, there we go. It's been a long time. So there's something I've wanted to do for a while, which was... I've been ordained twice, once from Universal Life Church, and if anybody knows that, you pay like $50 and Tom, Dick, and Harry can get ordained so you can marry your friends or something like that. Not marry your friends, but, you know, officiate a ceremony. And then, of course, I was ordained about 7 years ago by the Church of Latter-day Dude, which is in a philosophy called Dudism. Based on a movie, The Big Lebowski. So I became an official Dudist priest. But that's another one where you just pay your... I think that might have been more than $50. And now you're that. But then it's like I kept hearing about... I've always had people in an organization called... I don't do organizations. I'm sure you could imagine that. I'm not into the... I don't know, the pack effect. I don't know how else to put that. I tend to be the dope off in the corner all the time. Maybe not dope, but I had been hearing a lot about an organization called the Alliance of Divine Love, and I had so many friends ordained through them. Charlotte McGinnis, who I adore for years, Brian and Pam, Chrissy, Ed Carasquillo, all these people I know, Shelly Entine. So I'm like, you know what? I have a lot of time on my hands, and I went for it and actually became ordained through that organization. So I'm actually a part of a real one now, and we are about to launch. It's actually already going, really. It was officially launched on August 19th, but what's called the One Breath of Life Foundation, which is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization that I've been wanting to launch for about 10 years. I've owned the onebreathoflife.org URL for like 10 years. And then, so that, the thing about ADL that I've loved is it's a focus on one thing centrally. You don't come in, and it's not like Christianity where you've got precepts you've lived up to and you have to adopt people's belief systems. It's all focused on one thing, which is the greatest degree of love. In other words, what's the greatest degree of love in this particular situation? So I thought, well, with COVID going on, I need to breathe a little. COVID going on, what a perfect time to do this. And I did something else I hadn't done in 20 years. I had been playing guitar from the time I was 10 years old till I was 20-something. And then for the past 20 years, I had played no more than 10 hours. So all of a sudden, I started picking guitars up again, and I'm playing all these different guitars. I started reading books again. For years, you get to a point where you stop reading. Not like I know all the knowledge in the world. It's not that exactly. It's just I would pick up a book, and I would have like 10 books going at once, and I couldn't get through any of them. So started picking up really good stuff like, you know, debaucherous rock star biographies. Read lots of books. Ran to this book here. This is from a guy named Jaron Lanier. It's called 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now. Now, let me tell you a little about him. I did a video about, not just about Jaron, but it was actually called How Our Addiction to Social Media is Unleashing the Reptilian Serpent Brain. And that sounds crazy, but what's the limbic system, when I say reptilian, I'm not talking David Icke and lizards walking through the town square. I'm talking about the limbic system, the amygdala, the hippocampus, all of those different systems, the fight or flight, etc. Jaron's an interesting guy. He coined the term, that video is actually on YouTube already, he coined the term virtual reality a very long time ago. He's not a normal person. He weighs about maybe 400 pounds, and he has dreadlocks down to his knees. He, you know, doesn't look like most people. But he's also responsible for a large part of the virtual reality systems that are out there, things like artificial intelligence. He's also one of the main people that wrote the algorithms that are the basis of Facebook and Google. Now, and I'll recommend something else. Man, this is intense, the breath thing. On Netflix, there's something right now called The Social Dilemma. Came out about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'd highly recommend it. Jaron, who I've been reading for years, I've been an avid fan of his for years, is in it a lot. He's featured in it. And the whole book, or the whole thing, is about warning people about social media. Funny, because there's this interesting phrase that came from Yeshua, Jesus, a couple thousand years ago, and he said, you cannot serve God and what? Mammon. Now, what were we told mammon meant? Money, right? Basically money, which is funny because, what is it, Les Brown says, you know, everybody says, you know, love is the love of money is the root of all evil, but everybody wants to find out for themselves. Well, mammon means materiality in Aramaic. What it actually means is, money can be an example of that, but it really means the belief in essentially the, in a modern day language, the coding that our brain gives us about the world. Meaning the preconceived notions, concepts, the what's called the graven images. Graven image isn't just a statue of Baphomet. The graven image is that stuff that goes on in our brains that we're not even generally aware of. So we're missing the analog of life, and we're just getting the digital, which is what's happening here between the ears. So, Jaron has literally made it his life's work in the last, you know, say 10 years or so, especially the last 5 years, to warn people about the very things that he helped create. And like as an example, he has I still have Facebook stuff. If anybody, you know, is a friend of mine on there, I put up like 2 things in 6 months. I don't browse. I don't look. Funny, because one of the things he talks about in the way the algorithms work is they were originally created to drive advertising. Now, when the internet was young, funny about that, a lot of the what he says, you know, well-intentioned hippies wanted everything to be free. So what happens when the software is free, the internet, you might pay a little bit, Facebook's free? How's Facebook survive without revenue? So how do they get revenue? Advertising. So what does advertising turn into? What the algorithms do is when you click on anything, it's recorded. If you click on something because you love it, it's recorded. Because you hate it, it's recorded. It doesn't care if you love it or you hate it. It's just constantly monitoring your clicks. And then it starts showing you things you like. And it starts showing you things you hate. Question. And you can't blame this just on the orange-headed monster in the big white house. Question is this. That's my only political statement. Because that's all going on inside of you. Have you seen maybe a little bit more division in our country this year? Maybe just a little. Do you ever pay attention to the news stories about how, as an example, if there's going to be a rally in Kenosha, Chicago, how everybody finds out about that? Where do they see it? Facebook, social media. So, interestingly, what started as something to drive advertising, they started, who's the product? The product on Facebook is not the companies. It's not what's being sold. You are the product. They're selling you. They're selling your information to these huge companies who don't care anything about you, trust me. But my point in this is this. This is what mammon is. This is what people talk about, digital codes and the Antichrist, etc. When you start clicking on everything, not only is it showing you what you like and don't like and what they can sell you, it starts predicting what you're going to click on. And then what it does is it starts to adjust what you click on. What does that mean? That means that the software actually creates more algorithms that cause you to click on the things that they want you to click on. So in other words, it's no longer advertising, it's now behavioral modification. Interesting thought. And the funny thing is, which emotion do you think is more powerful with an algorithm? Negative or positive?
Negative.
Why? Negative has all that repressed and suppressed energy. Absolutely. All that bottled up everything is there. So, interesting about that. What's that? Oh, absolutely. Unfortunately, it's everywhere. You know, I'm from New Jersey, and that was the state where back in the 50s they started flashing subliminal messages in the movie theaters. To like buy more popcorn, Coca-Cola, it's so delicious, all this other kind of stuff, and it worked. And then, of course, they outlawed it. But who's really sitting there and paying attention that that's not happening anymore? Have you noticed, like, anything on of a lot of the pickup trucks around town? Anything at all? What have you noticed? Flags. It's interesting because Sinclair Lewis said that when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross. And I find it most interesting because it's carrying a cross by someone who doesn't care about a cross. And I'm not just talking about politics right now. And it's also wrapped in a flag by someone who doesn't care about the flag. And that makes it even more powerful. But what I'm saying about that, and this is nothing against patriotism, but what really is patriotism? I gotta quote the man, you know, the spiritual master, George Carlin, and you know, he talked about, you know, I don't get all warm and fuzzy about yellow ribbons and American flags. He says they're symbols, and I leave symbols to the symbol-minded. Interesting. But I actually was at an Ingles a couple of days ago, and there was a guy with flags. And I was just interested, and I just looked at him, and I said, I like your flags. Of course, it was the Confederate flag. I just wanted to see what he would say, you know, and the American flag. And he went like this, and he kind of pushed his chest out. He was like, thanks, so do I. And then he gets in his car with his little boy, and I realize his little boy had a T-shirt with a Confederate flag on the back. And I was like, wow, interesting. But, you know, one of the things has been happening to me recently. As a matter of fact, it happened last night. Middle of the night, I'm like, pencil, I need to write something down. Because I've been having a lot of dreams lately. And interestingly, funny, I'm healthier, although I probably gained a little weight during this pandemic thing. That's not my fault. But but I'm healthier than I've ever been. Well, that's because I'm taking like 6,000, you know, milligrams of vitamin C. I'm taking a little bit of D. I take saw palmetto. I take turmeric, black pepper, cayenne, B complex. I do B12 a couple times a week. I do vitamin Q, X, K, Y. Anyway, funny thing about all that, though, is I'm having like a lot of these like epiphanies this year. Has anything happened for anybody? Like, did anybody have a point where you felt completely like, this is it, it's over? Thank you for raising your hand.
The past is over?
No, like sort of like, this is the end. You know, almost like quote Jim Morrison, beautiful friend, the end. You know, we're going to get to that in a moment. But like the repression of a feeling like that is actually one of the things that powers the algorithms and the division. What was it that Jesus called that? A house divided against itself or a city divided against itself. Do you remember the name he used? He was always using that to explain something. Satan. Whenever someone would ask him about Satan, he would say, well, a house divided against itself cannot stand. A city divided against itself cannot stand. The word Satan in Aramaic, Satana, the root of that is the sound sta in Aramaic, which means to slide, fall, fragment, or cut something away from its source. Kind of like you have a mountain and you're standing there looking at a mountain and then you take a rock and you pull it away. So this is a rock and that's a mountain, but what is the rock really? It's a mountain, but is it? Was it ever? So Satan is that division of really what it is the good you fighting the bad you. It's the parts of yourself especially that are repressed. The people that feel like they're spiritual, so they have to stay positive. So the desperation gets stuffed down. And they put that positive, you can't see my teeth, but see my shiny teeth? Everybody knows somebody like that, that's so positive that it feels negative. And it's like forced because you know it's not real. Funny that something like that, like posting something on Facebook, it's a funny thing that my buddy back in New Jersey, Mike, he constantly will see something. Like we have a friend who was this like staunch Christian back 30 years ago and was always cramming that down our throats. And now he's a staunch atheist. So he's like constantly cramming the fallacies of like salt lamps and anything you can think of, essential oils down our throats. It's exactly the same thing. So Mike will write these like 10-page diatribes, almost attacking the friend of ours, and then he deletes it. good practice. What I'm saying, though, is one of the things I've been having lately is I've been having a lot of intense dreams. And I had a dream, as a matter of fact, last night where I was taken into a library, and I was being actually, it wasn't a library. It was a bookstore. It was like it had a lot of older books too, and they were showing me these books by a guy named Dale Hoffman, who was a a folk medicine practitioner, and I'm like, so I wrote it down. I'm like, Dale Hoffman, folk medicine, and I wake up this morning. I'm like, what the, what does that even mean, folk medicine? You know, and I started looking into it this morning on Google. I couldn't find anything yet, but I've been having. And this was happening during the processing I was doing, like the mentoring I was doing with my mentors for ADL, was like, I've been having a lot of, this is going to sound a little weird, realistic visions and experiences of another me at the same time, living other lives. Literally, like there's a me that works in some kind of odd, I know this sounds crazy, energy factory, etc., that does something to do with shipping energy out across the cosmos. And I'm apparently a folk medicine practitioner somewhere. I don't know. But maybe that's not me. Maybe it's a different Dale Hoffman. I don't know. I know there was a Dale Hoffman who used to play this little drum set that was like this big, called a Junior Pro, that they make for kids. And he would come out on stage and do this really ridiculous act and play this little drum set. But I don't think he's around anymore. But I started realizing that, you know, we've been through this before. What's happening right now with the world. We've run this into the ground before, and I don't know if you realize that or remember that. This isn't the first time that we've done this before. And we're going to be just fine no matter what happens. There's nobody really saying that. We aren't this. We're not what's gathered in this room at all. You know, you cannot serve God, the wholeness, the oneness, and mammon, which is that sort of fictitious digital layer. I'll say that in Sanskrit, they call it the lila, or the divine play. Another word is maya, the world of liquid illusion. What I'm saying is this, is we're trying so hard to be positive. We're trying to hold on to something that's not actually there. And that's how they grab us, is by what we're trying not to feel, because we're trying to feel positive, when what we really want to do, honestly, I think it sometimes is either cash in all the chips or lash out. But there's another side to this coin, though, that I think a lot of people are forgetting. Just because it looks like everything's running into the ground and we feel, you know, and I'm saying, you know, we'll be fine no matter what happens, remember, we're still conscious co-creators. Did we forget that part or something? Anybody feel like a victim of something this year? Wow, talk about race, talk about, you know, I read, and I'm not being political, but just mentioning a political character, read Mary Trump's book a few months ago, and I was like, wow, that was interesting. And then I started going, you know, maybe there's a positive in that. Maybe there's actually a positive in us seeing all of this so that maybe we can do something about it. But sometimes it doesn't really look like we're doing anything about it. I don't know that, and I 100% support, you know, people's right to speech 100%. But I don't know that, like, bashing out store windows and looting and, you know, all this massive vandalization is doing much anyway. Funny, because all the religious philosophies, they talk about somebody that's going to come and save us from all that. What do they call that person? Savior. There's another word.
Messiah.
Anybody know what the word Messiah means? It's an old Hebrew Aramaic word. And if you learned it through theology, God forbid, you know, you really probably don't know what the word actually means, but the word's Mashiach or Mashikah. And what it actually meant originally was those that walk between the worlds, meaning that almost like a shaman, those that can actually see through all of the digital layers, those that can come in, you know, think medicine man, who can come in and put out this idea that they can take on the sickness of the person and go out and sort of puke it back out sort of onto the ground so that this person no longer has that sickness. A lot of that's pomp and circumstance because they just don't believe in that. Like, people ask me all the time, how did Jesus cast out demons? I'm like, because he didn't believe in them. He didn't believe in them. But they're like, well, what about spitting in the sand, the dirt, and like rubbing that in the blind man's eyes and all that other kind of stuff? And I'm like, that was all for the participant. He didn't need to do any of that. You know what I'm saying? All of that's inside of each and every one of us. You know that, probably should have brought it, that light I have where the laser pen that I bring, and it has like thousands of points of light all over my face, but it's all coming from one laser and it's refracted. Saying that one of those is the miracle man, the Messiah, is like saying one of those dots is. You understand what I'm saying? So then what does that mean about the rest of us? We can't be that. But yet, where are all the dots projecting from? The same place. interesting thought. A lot of the people we're dealing with, you know, whether it be, bless their hearts, you know, all of the pseudo patriotism or the Bible stuff or whatever it may be, are young souls who haven't been through this before. Y'all have been through this several times. You may not remember that, but you've been here a lot. And it's funny because I can feel Raymond, of course. You know, how could I not? But I know he's hearing that. Dale, I love you so much. Think about that. So what I'm saying is this. You know, we're all those conscious co-creators who can walk between the worlds. And the suggestion I have is, there it is again. It's okay. The suggestion I have is, don't bite the hook. And I've actually been in grocery stores lately where I walk up and the cashier is crying. And the bag person, like, what's up? And they're like, well, I basically almost just got attacked because this guy or woman didn't want to wear a mask or whatever. And I'm like gagging up here. I can barely breathe. But I'm like, what's the big deal about the mask? Let's say you don't believe in it. Is it somehow going to kill you to put it on when you go into a grocery store or something? People are like, oh, I'm not going to get sick. I'm like, well, maybe it's not just about you. Actually, maybe it's not about you at all. Maybe it's about you picking it up and taking it somewhere else. But everything is totally and completely different right now. And I just wanted to let y'all know, everything's going to be fine. I think y'all probably know that. Beware of anything that looks like, what would the word be, a panacea? Or should I even say placebo in a lot of cases today? But it's like, I don't think anybody's really happy with politics on either side. It's kind of a big mess, economy, you know, whatever. But in the end, I think that, you know, well, I know that we chose to be here at this exact point in time when we came here to navigate the cosmic shift. And I'm just kind of here to remind people that the power is still in our hands. And yet, even if we run the damn car into the tree, we're still fine. We're still going to be fine. Even if we drive this physical thing into the ground yet again, you know, or get stuck in the garage door and crushed underneath it, I know. But I'm just saying that we're going to be fine because you're not this. You were never this. You were never this. You never will be this. This is all, and I'll leave you with Yogananda. I've said this in this room many times, where he said to transfer our sense of identity from the pseudo-soul or ego or the divine play or this movie projecting on a screen and bring it back to the true inherent nature of our divinity and to become the ever-joyous witness of a stupendous cosmic drama. So who knows what's going to happen? It's funny, have you noticed that there's been a lot of... I always wondered what happens, like when these, like, excuse me, religious nuts, bless their heart, predict a particular end of the world. And there was a guy that said it was supposed to be in February, and then he was like, wait, he miscalculated. It was actually in June. But then after it didn't happen in June, you didn't hear from him again. I'm like, what do these people do after that? Do you just pack it in, or is everybody gathered around you, keep hanging out? I mean, I've always, anyway. I want to recommend, even if you don't read this book, I really do recommend The Social Dilemma on Facebook. Netflix. Yeah, look at that. That's the algorithm working in my mouth. I actually have, like, I've got interviews of him with Tavis Smiley right before Tavis got brought down a couple of years ago on PBS. Some amazing interviews he did with Tavis. And, you know, Jaron walks out, this huge Jabba the Hutt, like barefoot. You know, and his hair is like all over the place. And interesting. Did I snort? I snorted. I want to tell you what number three is here. It's ten arguments. And social media, the argument three, I can't say it, but social media is making you into an not a kind word. What he talks about how is how it actually stimulates those parts of you, like the worst parts of you, and brings them out to play. Again, I say, don't bite the hook. If you've noticed, like in the last few years, that you don't see your friends on Facebook anymore, you just see the people that you can't stand or whatever. Or you've clicked on an ad on Facebook, and then like 6 hours later, you pick up your phone, and all of a sudden, or you go on Amazon, and it's showing you the item you looked at, that, you know. I'm just saying, stay awake. And this can be, something great can come out of this. You know, we can start using these much more mindfully. Maybe a paid system will come in where you have to pay to be on some other kind of a Facebook where advertising is not allowed. I know that's a dream world. People say, I don't want to pay for it. Well, you are paying for it. You're just paying in a much different way, including with some other entity, a dark ghost machine that's running your life and telling you where to click. That's what you get for free social media. So I'm just telling you to be aware, because you can't serve the oneness and that illusion at the same time. You peek in and out between the two, but... So what a great way to open this up again. Yeah. Well, a co-creator is, I mean, that's thousands of year old philosophy that, you know, we are the one. We are each of us are co-creators, as the dots on my face with the pen that I don't have with me. And yet, the co part is not only that we are co-creating together, but that we are creating as the one. So it's really two levels of creation. But really, it's not a level at all. We are the one. You know, Jesus said, is it not written in your law that I said that you are God? That word's not plural in the Torah. For some reason, it's translated gods. But it's not a plural word in the Hebrew. Something people should know. Are they told that? No. No, they're told about gods. So, does that make sense? Or it's just a way of explaining it. If you're going to... You can't get there from here, really. So just that realization that it's not just an outside God that's creating, but that's every single one of us. And we are that one, is basically what that is.
Let's talk later.
Oh, okay. Does anybody else get it? Conscious co-creator?
Well, you were alluding to our thoughts and feelings combined.
Everything.
Powerful.
That's part of it. It's absolutely part of it. Yeah. And I mean, we tend to, unfortunately, not unfortunately, because it is a lesson this year, be creating in a lot of ways from the phantom us, the us that's not real, a lot more than usual. But there's a huge lesson in that. And I mean, a lot of the powers, interesting to watch, you know, Wells Fargo, like what they've been going through for years, and they can't seem to catch a break. This big monster company that's been around for 150 years, and every time it'll have some kind of controversy that comes out, and they dump billions into advertising to apologize, and then they do something else really stupid. And then they have to dump out billions more in advertising, and they do something else stupid. This time it was the CEO, you know, a couple of days ago, saying something like, we don't hire, you know, blacks because that the gene pool is very, what was the word he used? Something, you know, in the black community. So they don't hire many blacks because they don't have enough good prospects there. It's like, oh, now they're about to dump out another $150 billion worth of advertising. But what I'm saying is, you know, that's how they keep us going back and clicking, clickbait, keep us on the hook. You've got the controls here. You know, you're in control of this engine. Nobody else. Maybe we're all living our own world. Well, the biggest part of it is, you know, the people you surround yourself with. Another part is, you know, not not clicking on the bait, so to speak, having silence, you know, create something in your life that you love. Don't just consume what somebody else is creating. You know, having something, whether it's painting, whether it's whatever. If people try to engage you on the street, not that I'm saying that people cut people off or anything, or, you know, try to start something somewhere, just don't bite the hook.
Spirit is working through us, and we are the hands and feet on this earth that are creating what Spirit is guiding us to do, but to do it consciously, to be aware.
Absolutely.
That that power is us. It allows us to yield and to let that false part of us slip away and simply be the conscious presence of Spirit on earth doing what Spirit does. I just think that's, it's like one thing, you know, all we have is a gift from the divine. And that's the truth for everybody on the planet, regardless where they're at spiritually. But to be aware of that consciously, that's the difference. And
yeah, that's huge. And I would add that for me, the primary key, like if I do a mentoring session with someone, I just did a mentoring session with a woman in Sweden the other day, and we got to the end, and I'm like, well, here's the one thing, if you forget everything else I've said, remember this. Remember that it's the ultimate technique. It's amazing because I tell people all the time in Aramaic, if you go into a Bible and you see the word spirit coming out of Jesus' mouth, take a pencil and cross out spirit and write breath above it, because that's more accurately what that meant. He wasn't talking about this disembodied spiritus, which is a Latin word that he never heard in his life. He was talking about this underlying substance, something that binds all together, that's threaded into everything, that activates literally through our own conscious choice of. But when things start feeling like, you know, the bomb's about to blow, in the nose, hold that for just a few moments and then out the mouth. Do that two more times. Do it three times. It's amazing. But when you're doing that, you're also releasing everything. You're pulling in. I sometimes see myself, I'm almost virtually always barefoot. Not in the store or anything, but literally breathing it in through the soles of my feet, the energy of the earth, that cleansing energy, the Haya, the Chi, hold that for a few moments, and then on the exhalation, it's just a complete exhale and release of everything. Letting go of everything. Like when all this started happening and I was like watching, you know, every event that I had on my calendar, every single solitary event, which has dollar signs attached to each one too. I mean, yeah, I do this because I love it, but it's also how I support my family, etc. When all those bubbles started popping, I think I did pretty good because I didn't go, ah. Well, I think I did back there a little bit, ah. But for the most part, it was like, okay, big lesson, big lesson. And then we moved our family from one house to another, thinking that we'd have an area of this house to do private events, and then we couldn't do private events, and it's like, okay, because we've lived in this little tiny, well, Don had been there, tiny little, you know, place for years, 16 years, and it's just, the key for me has been just the release, and then again, it's everything Bill said, it's about the conscious part, about being aware of it rather than just the unconscious clicking and being against everybody and all of this polarization. It's, whew, I've never seen anything like it. Never. But we have choices, and, you know, we're creators here too. And fighting back obviously isn't the answer. It's funny because this is what countries generally look like before a takeover. There's a massive division. You can look back through history, you know, all the way back to Malta and all these other, it's there throughout history. So, the only reason I say that is, remember, we're creators, conscious creators. Anybody else have anything you want to kind of throw into the pot? Or what it feels like is a big simmering pot. And I think that was one of the issues. We turned America into a melting pot where everybody comes here and melts down into an American. I think we should have kept it more like a salad where we could actually maintain the cultural identities and flavors. And, you know, maybe we learned from that, maybe we didn't. And I'll have to say, I'm going to be doing a series of videos about a lot of the books I've read this year, including... I don't remember the name of the book, but Joseph Marshall III, one of my biggest teachers ever, Lakota, talks about growing up Lakota in a white world. And that book came out last year, and it was all about this year. Amazing. But
what's the name of that one?
I don't remember the name of it, but if you search Joseph Marshall III, the third on Amazon, it'll pop up. An incredible book, and asked Loretta, when I started reading it, I almost was like, I don't know if I can read this, because I felt, God, he sounds anti-white. He sounds anti-Euro-American. And there's always been that flavor in his stuff. And I got about halfway through the book, I'm like, of course he is. You know, when you read the truth about a lot of it, it's like, of course he is. But yet he's still open to communication. And it's amazing, though, because the book was written actually 2 years ago, came out last year, and it was like it was about 2020, about divisions, etc. So.
I think the powers that be are creating a lot of negative energy because that's what suits their purpose.
And it's more powerful. It's a much more powerful leverage.
As light workers, I think it's important that we create positive energy to offset that. We need to send out as much positive love energy in the universe.
And, you know, and again, I think the primary technique in that is letting go of whatever it is that we are against, even for whatever, and just clearing the slate, taking those three deep breaths and just being completely open. If you don't believe how much you want to know how much I believe in that, just go look at the license plate of our Chevy Equinox. It says OPEN. And of course, people walk up to my gorgeous model wife and go, "What does that mean, babe?" At the grocery store, the open thing. She's like, "Whatever it mean, whatever you, what is it? Whatever you want it to mean," or something like that. But they're like, "Really? No, it's not what it meant. It meant open, because if you're not open, you're over, basically. Just, you know, as the Lakota said, let the wind blow through you. That's huge." Thank you. Thank you for being open and for your dialogue.